You're listening to coverage of the Kansas State of the State Address.
We had our first grandchild this last year, and boy, is that good. If some of you haven't experienced that, it is great. Also want you to welcome the Ruth Collier, wife of Lieutenant Governor Jeff Collier. Ruth? Love you. Thank you, Ruth. Thank you for being here. Now, there's someone I want you to recognize that's been a part of this ritual for 30 years, 30 consecutive years. And that's the Associated Press reporter John Hanna, who tonight is covering his 30th State of the State message. And this undoubtedly will be his best. John? Now that's quite a milestone, but it's exceeded actually by somebody else. Martin Hover is tonight covering his 40th State of the State address. Martin? And he's still looking for his socks. Here we celebrate freedom, here we practice self-government, and here the people rule. And here we crown no royalty, except in baseball. Well, soccer too, and football and basketball, hopefully. And as our region's latest champions showed us, with the right fundamentals and teamwork, we can accomplish anything in time. It was precisely 5 years ago tonight when I first addressed this body with the state of our state. And just look what's happened in that period of time. Now more than 388,000 low-income Kansans now pay zero income taxes. CAPERS is out of the bankruptcy zone, and our funded liability percentage is up by 13% since 2012, a major investment by this legislative body and this government. K-12 spending is at an all-time high, up by more than $300 million. More than half the people who were on welfare are now off it, and more importantly, they're getting out of poverty. We've embraced innovation and modernization in our Medicaid system, providing more services and better outcomes for 20,000 more Kansans than before. More than 96,000 Kansas children have participated in innovative reading programs. Over 3,000 high school students have participated in our Jobs for America's Graduates program, and graduating at a rate of 93%. Participation in technical education has tripled in that period of time. It's tripled. We're graduating 2,100 more engineers from our state universities. We've controlled spending, reformed tax policy, and reduced burdensome regulations. We've consolidated agencies, eliminated wasteful programs, and overhauled workers' compensation. We lifted the Major League Soccer Cup trophy with Sporting KC. And we've seen the Wichita State Shockers join basketball's big dance every year since 2012. No applause for that line? Tom, at least you. Working together, we've created an economic environment that's seen Kansas gain more than 78,000 private sector jobs in that period of time. And we have achieved our lowest level of unemployment in 14 years, with a record number of Kansans working. Working together, we've created an economic environment where hardworking Kansans have seen their wages increase by over 10%. Kansans are finding good jobs right here at home. Working together, we've created an economic environment where new filings for new businesses have increased by 15%. And working together last year, we created a stable regulatory environment that will see this year 9 new wind farms go into our state at an investment of around $3 billion new dollars into Kansas. Kansas is once again a national leader in wind energy development. So, Mr. Speaker, Madam President, it's for these reasons and many more that I can report to you that the state of our state is strong. Kansas is strong. Kansas is growing. Now, it's often said that Kansas feeds the world, and we do. And we will continue to provide for our fellow Americans and support the global economy by providing food, wheat, beef, and now increasingly dairy, by providing energy, oil and gas, ethanol, and renewables, by providing air travel from our manufacturers in Wichita and suppliers across South Central Kansas, by providing recreation, the National Water Trail, the Flint Hills Nature Trail, NASCAR, and world-class hunting and fishing, Wildcat football and Jayhawk basketball. And finally, by providing a business climate where the financial services industry can grow and prosper under the leadership of the industry and Insurance Commissioner Ken Seltzer. Ken, solid work. Keep it up. Now, one of the biggest challenges we face in much of Kansas is the future of our water. This is a topic that's been a passion of mine, and my passion is to prepare the state to be in a better position for our future. To do that, we've got to prepare today, and in some cases, we have to sacrifice some now so our kids and grandchildren can have better options. The work you have accomplished, that we have accomplished together to preserve and extend the water resources in Kansas in the last 3 years has been significant. The first local enhanced management area has gone into place in northwest Kansas in about 99 square miles of area. That LEMA has reduced their water use by roughly 20% and still maintained net farm income. That should extend the useful life of the Ogallala in that area by 25 years. Now, that's solid progress, but more needs to happen. Right now, we're dredging John Redmond Reservoir, the first federal reservoir to be dredged in the nation. Now, whether it's dredging projects or reducing our demands on the Ogallala, it's going to take time and some sacrifice. We're going to continue implementing action items in the long-term vision for Kansas' water future. With most natural resources, we aren't just taking them for today. We are borrowing them from the future. Perhaps no one individual has done more to protect our water than the recipient of the first Water Legacy Award. Wayne Bossert, who some of you know, was the longtime director of Groundwater Management District No. 4. Now retired, he led the organization at the time it formed the first state LEMA in Thomas and Sheridan counties. And that was done to help preserve the aquifer. Wayne is here with us tonight, and Wayne, I want to thank you for your vision to protect this vital resource for our future. Would you please stand up and be recognized? Thanks, Wayne. Thanks, Wayne. Speaking of our future, I'd like to talk about our investment in our children. By far the biggest item funded by state government is education, and that is as it should be. But education in the 21st century can no longer be based on 19th century models. Parents and educators across the state have sought innovative options, from alternate teacher certification and merit pay to scholarships backed by tax credits. We must have an education system that has a range of options in which our students can learn and prosper and grow. Education is not done by money or buildings. It's done by teachers. Teaching isn't a job or a vocation. It's a calling. I know. A number of you are teachers or have been teachers. I've taught. Two of my children teach. Former students are prized people to teachers. The bond of teacher and student never breaks. Teachers need money to care for their needs. And that's why Kansans invest in education, so good teachers are able to do their calling and teach. Yet today, of the more than $4 billion the state puts into education funding, not nearly enough goes towards instruction. That's highly inefficient, if not immoral, denying Kansans from putting their education dollars where they want it to be, which is behind a good teacher. I call on the legislature to design a new education funding system that puts more of our money into instruction, that provides bonuses for exceptional teachers, and recognizes their true value to our future and the souls of our students. Now, to keep Kansas strong, we must also keep it safe. In December, the Kansas Highway Patrol graduated its 55th class of troopers. It was the largest class in recent memory. I saw fathers pin badges on sons. I saw families stand proudly with their wife, husband, father, son, or daughter as they received their badges. But I was most moved by the sight of twin brothers, one becoming a trooper and the other pinning on his badge. Jonathan Blank became a KHP trooper that day after serving as a U.S. Marine with two tours of duty in Iraq. He received his badge from his brother, Lyndon Blank, also a U.S. Marine, who served and was gravely injured in Afghanistan. Please join me in recognizing these two outstanding young men from Augusta, Kansas, who put the welfare of others before their own safety. Jonathan and Lyndon, thank you very much. I knew the speaker would particularly appreciate recognizing a couple of Marines. Elected officials have a responsibility to protect our citizens from all threats, foreign and domestic. In this, the President of the United States has refused to lead. He's prioritized his agenda and the feelings of the radical Islamic terrorists over the safety of Americans. He's unwilling to take simple actions to improve our security, therefore, we must act. It is my responsibility as governor of this great state to do what we can to protect the citizens of Kansas. And we must act to maintain the security of our state. Last summer, in response to the attack on recruiting facilities in Tennessee, I ordered the Adjutant General, Lee Tafanelli, to complete a comprehensive security assessment of all Kansas National Guard facilities. Included in his report was a plan to arm and train additional personnel and make security enhancements to our National Guard facilities. My budget proposal includes funding to support these activities. I call on the legislators from both sides of the aisle to strongly support this request and send a clear message to our troops that we stand with them. in November, in response to the horrific terrorist attacks in Paris, I directed all state agencies to immediately cease the placement of refugees from countries where potential terrorists can arise due to our inability to verify their background. More than 30 other governors across the United States joined in this call. Governors, both Republican and Democrat, continue to question the federal government's ability to properly screen people claiming to be refugees. Governors must have the information they need to protect the people we serve. Instead of simply pausing his resettlement plan and working with the governors to address their legitimate security concerns, President Obama has chosen to pursue a path that puts Americans at risk. Mr. President, this will not work. We must and will act to protect the citizens of our state. Last year, we also learned that President Obama has resurrected his plan to close the terrorist detention facility in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, and transfer terrorists to the United States. Now, his own Secretary of Defense has said this is not a good idea. His own Attorney General has said this is illegal. The President doesn't care. Therefore, we must be prepared to act, and we are. Every member of the Kansas Congressional Delegation, the Lieutenant Governor, the Attorney General, and I each stand at the ready to thwart every action the President takes to transfer terrorists to Kansas. Kansas was founded by people of strength, people who understood the value of hard work, of friendship, of faith. The strength of Kansas lies in the hearts and minds of our people. Here the people rule, all of our people. James Madison, writing in the Federalist Papers, warned of the dangers of placing too much power in the noble elites that could control our judicial process. This warning rings true today. Kansas is the only state in the country where the selection of Supreme Court justices is controlled by a handful of lawyers. Kansas, however, is grounded in the principle of representative democracy. The current selection method used for the Supreme Court removes the people of Kansas from the process of selecting judges. It places the process in the hands of those lawyers who regularly appear in front of the judges they select. Well, enough is enough. The legislature should put before Kansas voters a proposed constitutional amendment for a more democratic selection process for our Supreme Court justices. We must have faith in the people. Here the people rule. Since 1999, when the property tax lid was lifted, it had been in place up until 1999, but since 1999, when the property tax lid was lifted, Kansans have seen those tax rates increase by 24% and the property tax revenue increase by 92% just since 1999. Your property taxes should not grow faster than your paycheck. They carry heavy burdens on all Kansans, especially those living on fixed incomes. Now, last year, you acted to place a lid on property taxes, and that was a positive step. The ability to raise taxes at the local level should not be made without consent and input from local citizens. Voters should have the ability to make their voices heard with an up or down vote on any proposal that raises property taxes in excess of inflation. I'd welcome legislation that strengthens the property tax lid by closing the existing loopholes and puts it in place sooner. Here the people rule, and here the people have a voice. Kansans value self-sufficiency and independence. But some Kansans are still struggling, and we have an obligation to help them. We implemented common sense requirements for those on welfare with the goal of providing economic opportunity instead of government dependency. We said if you have no disability and no children at home, you should work or train for work at least 20 hours per week. The results of those reforms are in. The reforms have worked. Our caseloads are 70% lower today than they were before we made the change. The workplace participation rate among enrollees has nearly tripled. The amount of time able-bodied individuals are spending on food stamps has been cut in half. And those leaving welfare are better off. Before work requirements, 93% of able-bodied adults on welfare were in poverty. Most were in severe poverty and not working at all. But within a year of leaving welfare, their incomes had more than doubled, an increase on average of 127%. The number of enrollees who have risen out of poverty has tripled. And that's our objective in these programs, is to get people out of poverty. These are real people. These are our friends and families and neighbors. We've seen what happens when they get off of welfare and have hope of a better life. In Franklin County, a man had been trapped on welfare since 2009. He had been on food stamps for 4.5 years with no end in sight. He wasn't working and had no earned income. But that all changed when the work requirement went into effect. He began working, and after a year, he was earning $45,000 a year. We've even seen marriage rates go up as the numbers of men and women who are out of poverty and working has gone up. We're moving people out of poverty, out of dependency, and into self-sufficiency. We're giving them hope of a better life. Our work to help struggling Kansans must continue, and that includes supporting access to quality health care. Now, when we took office in 2011, I asked Lieutenant Governor Dr. Jeff Collier to modernize and transform the state's Medicaid program. Previous administrations had cut reimbursement rates and reduced services, yet costs were still out of control. Today, we have higher reimbursement rates for providers, more services for clients, and most importantly, we have better measurable health outcomes for Kansans who participate in CanCare. We have also saved nearly $1 billion over the projected cost estimates for the old Medicaid program. We've proven that a Kansas solution is better than one from Washington, D.C. In short, CanCare is working. Obamacare is failing. Now, I grew up in a town of population 268. I do understand rural hospitals are often the lifeblood of their community. Obamacare has increased health care costs in Kansas and especially hurt rural health care. It was Obamacare that cut Medicare reimbursements to rural hospitals. It was Obamacare that caused the problem. We should not expand Obamacare to solve the problem. So tonight, I'm asking Lieutenant Governor Collier to assemble a working group to address the problems of health care delivery in rural Kansas and to present a proposal to me by this time next year. As a fifth-generation rural Kansan and a physician, I can think of no one better suited to take on this vital task than Dr. Collier. I believe this working group should have frontline stakeholders involved, including a rural hospital administrator and a rural physician, at the same table with top policymakers. We will welcome input from diverse organizations. But let's also be realistic. Congress recently voted to defund expansion of Obamacare. We cannot rely on yet another Obamacare false promise. We can and should find a Kansas solution that improves rural health care access and outcomes. Now, ensuring the health and safety of Kansans means protecting all Kansans at every stage of life. We must keep working to protect our most innocent Kansans, our unborn. We have become the shining city on the hill and the champions for life. But as Harriet Beecher Stowe warned, every nation that carries in its bosom great and unredressed injustice has in it the elements of this last convulsion. Kansas was founded on the principle that every life has dignity, that every life has beauty, that every life has value. Every year since I became governor, we've enacted pro-life legislation. We've come a long way, but there's still work to be done. In 2011, I signed legislation stopping most taxpayer funding from going to Planned Parenthood. The time has come to finish the job. Planned Parenthood's trafficking of baby body parts is antithetical to our belief in human dignity. Today, I am directing Secretary Susan Mosier to ensure that not a single dollar of taxpayer money goes to Planned Parenthood through our Medicaid program. I welcome legislation that would enshrine this directive in state law. Now, as we begin this year's legislative session, I want to leave you with this timeless question. The ancients asked of God, "Who is man that you are even mindful of him?" They saw an earth so big and awe-inspiring, a sky so vast, stars without number, that they felt small and insignificant. Modern man suffers no such humility. We deem ourselves masters of our own destiny, the earth our ship to guide, and life a voyage where we choose the destinations. So who's right? We conquer one problem, but new ones arise in increasing number. We're perplexed when things don't go as we think they should. Maybe our forefathers were closer to right than we thought. What if God is bigger than we can think, and we actually are smaller than we can believe? Wouldn't that give us the proper awe of a sunset and thankfulness for our lives and blessings? With that in mind, I invite each of us to be thankful and enjoy the chance to serve our fellow citizens in such a wonderful role. To also think more highly of others than we do of ourselves, even if that person is of the other political party. I'll seek to do this. I also invite each of us to contemplate and consider the reasons we are here, in this job, at this time, in this place. Questions to which our ancestors would quickly and humbly reply, to love God and one another. God bless you all. Have a great session.